This story took place in Upper New York State. Once there was a college there. It was a medical college. Sometimes they would take bodies of people who had died in New York City. And they would take them to this medical college. Or maybe someone had willed their body to science. This story that I'm going to tell you took place a number of years ago. And because of what happened, the medical school had to close. And now ivy crawls the walls, and no one is there. You know how it is in many colleges. Sometimes they have their students do different things. I remember when I was in college, my freshman year, I had to wear a little beanie. And we could never be caught without that beanie. And we had a rope pull across a lake, a small pond or a lake. And if we pulled the sophomores across the pond, we could take our beanies off. But if they pulled us across, we had to wear our beanies for the rest of the year. And sometimes you've heard of other things too, things even worse, where maybe someone has been taken out into the country, and maybe their clothes taken off or something else, and they've been told to go back on their own. Well, in this college, they did such things to the freshmen. In this particular group of freshmen, there was one who stood out. He was a nervous, twitchy, know-it-all freshman. The seniors didn't like him because he knew more than they did. He was like what we would call today a nerd. So they wanted to have their best for him. Here is what they had planned. On campus, they had three buildings. They had the classroom buildings, where all of the students attended classes. They had the dormitory buildings, where the students slept at night and stayed during the day. And then they had the laboratory buildings. Now, in the laboratory building, on one of them, on the second floor, if you went down the end of the corridor and opened the door, inside were caskets. It was what was called a morgue. And here is where these bodies would end up, of helpless individuals who had died. Here is what they had planned for the nervous, know-it-all, twitchy freshman. They were going to have him report outside the laboratory building at 12 midnight. They were going to ask him if he had a weapon or had a flashlight. And then they were going to have him go into the laboratory building, up to the second floor, down the end of the corridor, and into the morgue, and go over to casket number 13, and open up casket number 13. That was all. What they didn't tell him, that was inside casket number 13, they were going to place one of their burly football players. And when this nervous know-it-all freshman opened up casket number 13, out would jump this big football player. And he would scare this know-it-all. And he would scream and yell and cry and come running down the steps and out the laboratory building, and everybody would have a good laugh. or so they thought. The night came when this all was to happen. It was midnight, and it so happened that there was no moon that night. It was a dark and cold night, and they had made sure that they had shut off all the electricity in all of the buildings so that there was no light shining anywhere. They told the nervous, know-it-all, twitchy freshman what he had to do. And they asked him if he had a flashlight or had a knife. And he said no. Then he went into the building. He went up to the second floor, or so they thought. They watched and waited outside. Minutes went by. They heard nothing. A half an hour went by, and still there were no sounds. But they thought, if I was in his position, I would be taking my time. Plus it's dark, he would have to feel his way along. After 45 minutes went by, some began to worry. Well, let's wait 15 more minutes. If we don't hear anything in 15 more minutes, then we'll do something. 15 minutes went by, and still nothing. No sound, nothing. So they sent one person back to get flashlights. They sent another person back to turn on all the electricity in the buildings. But it was going to take time. The group started into the laboratory building, and they started up the stairs. And all the big guys were pushing all the little guys up front. And they got to the top of the stairs, and they stopped, and they listened. They didn't hear anything. Then slowly, as a group, they began to go down the corridor toward the morgue. When they reached the door to the morgue, the first person there felt that it was open. He had at least come this far. Maybe even now he was inside. So once again, they stopped and listened. But they heard nothing. So then one by one, they began going into the morgue. And they had to hold their hands out in front of them to make sure that they didn't bump into anything. One person was holding out his hand. And as his hand was held out, he felt something drop on the back of it. Something wet. Just at this time, the person who had gone back for the flashlights came, and all he could find was a little pocket flashlight. And he shone the light on the back of the person's hand. There on the back of his hand was a drop of blood. Just at this time, all of the lights went on in the building. And they looked around, and they looked up, up, and there in the rafters was an arm, just an arm, dripping red blood. They looked all around the rest of the morgue, and they saw all parts of a body, all thrown about. They went over to casket number 13. They opened up casket number 13, and there inside was this nervous, know-it-all, twitchy freshman with a knife in his hand. They had to call the police. the police came up with this. They said that probably when they asked him if he had a knife or a flashlight, he said no, but he really did have a knife. It was just a pocket knife, but it was a knife for protection because he was nervous and all. And when he went up into the morgue and opened up casket number 13, and this big, burly football player jumped out at him, he lost all his senses. And he didn't know what he was doing, and he took this knife and he slashed this football player to ribbons. And then he took the parts of the body and threw them around the room, still not aware of what he was doing. But then he came to his senses and he realized what he had done. And he knew that he had to pay for what he had done. So he went over to casket number 13, put the knife blade over his hat, and let the lid close, pushing the knife down into his hat. Thus he paid for what he had done. Since that time, the school has been closed. And this is the story of the Bloody Arm.